taking communion this morning, but we're going to do it at the end. And so we're going to come and we're going to listen to the word of God. I'd like us just to stand together. I want us to pray that God will help us this morning. Kind of feels like God's already begun to do some stuff in us. And be great if the word of God just becomes an extension of that. And so I want to pray this morning for me, myself, and for you. For myself, God wants me to, and for you as you listen, that actually you allow the Holy Spirit to do in you what he needs to do. So, Father, I thank you for your word. God, we're told that your word is the inspired word of God. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And Lord, I pray this morning that your word will do something in us. That, Father God, as we are here on Sunday, we're not just here, Father God, to just have a good time, but we're here to prepare ourselves for our week. We're here to prepare ourselves for what you have got for us in the coming week. And so, Lord, I pray that, God, as we listen to the word of God, that you will do that. Lord, I pray as I speak things that I'm not meant to say, you'll close my mouth, things that I am meant to say that I maybe not have even written down, that God will just be open to you this morning, open to your Holy Spirit to do what you need to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. The title for what I'm going to speak about this morning is simply this, Getting the Balance Right. Now, I know some of you have heard that title and you've raced ahead to what you think I'm speaking on. My guess is you've got it wrong. Okay? And so it's called Getting the Balance Right. When we were away on holiday this year, we went to our friend's house and they took us to this place called Box Hill. And so we kind of went up this hill. Thankfully, we went up it in the car and I didn't have to walk it. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Everyone came out in walking boots and I'm there kind of in my flip-flops and thinking, ah. And so we went up this place called Box Hill and we went around the wood trails in Box Hill. And as you go around, there are different things that you can do or different things that kids can do that when adults try and do it, it sometimes doesn't go great. And I don't know if you've ever done that. I have. And so we were walking up. Now, when I was a young girl, one of my main giftings, especially in the sporting arena, I didn't have many giftings in the sporting arena, but one of my giftings was gymnastics. Okay? So I was really good at gymnastics. And I used to kind of go and do all, like, you know, the routines and all that. But I was really good at the vault. Okay, throwing yourself off something. I was really good at that. But I was also really good at the beam. So I'd kind of get on the beam, and I was really good. I could do cartwheels on the beam. Okay, I could. I could do handstands on the beam. I could even do like a front flip on the beam. I was actually really good on the beam. And it was one of the things that, you know, I excelled in. And so when we went to Box Hill a few weeks ago, there were these like logs of wood that were kind of built up and the kids were running on them. And I'm like, okay, I was good on the beam. That was a lot narrower than this wood was. So, you know, it's only a few years ago. You know, I'm not that old yet. And that was a very loud laugh there, Brian. And so I decided in my new kind of I can do things now since my up, I decided, right, I'm going to go on these logs. So I was kind of walking up. And I have to say, they didn't go that high. In fact, they probably didn't go as high as one of the beams that I used to go on when I was in gymnastics. But all of a sudden, when you're in your 40s, nearly at the wrong side of 45, okay, when you're in your 40s and all of a sudden you're climbing up these beams, and what your kids like to do is run up behind you and pretend to push you, okay, all of a sudden you don't feel as safe. And where at one point in my life I was brilliant at the balancing act, okay, and I could get on the beam and I could do all this stuff on it and I was really, really good, okay, then 21 hit. And I was no longer as good anymore. And then, you know, my 40s hit and I'm pretty terrible now. And I had flip-flops on. So, like, I was kind of going up these logs. And the balance that I once had, all of a sudden, through life happening and age happening and everything else happening, I can't see as well as I used to and all of that kind of stuff. Through all of that happening, my balance was not as good as what it once was. And I want to say to us that there are some times in our life that we feel our balance on things is absolutely perfect, absolutely fantastic. But then life happens and sometimes our balance on certain things begins to wane a bit, begins, whatever it is that's happened, our balance on certain things is not always as good as what it once was. You know, when we think about balance, we think about things like our work and home balance. Maybe we went through a season where that was great, and maybe we're struggling with that now. Maybe it's our free time, kids time, those of you who have got kids, free time, kids time balance that we're struggling. Maybe it's our church life, family life balance. Whatever it may be, okay, balance sometimes is the thing that knocks us off kilter so we can't progress and move forward like we want to do. Our main text for this morning is found in John chapter 1 and verse 14. And this is what I want to talk to us about today. And it says this, as he's talking about Jesus, when it says the Word, that was a name given to Jesus. Okay, so it says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to talk to us this morning about the balance in our lives as Christians of grace and truth. We know in the world in which we live that we need to be a people who speak the truth. Anyone agree with that? We need to be people who know the truth, because the Bible says it's the truth, and even though it's talking about Jesus then, it's the truth that sets us free. But we also need to be a people who also walk in grace. And actually, the two combined is what is going to see transformation that lasts take place. We need to be people who have the balance of truth and of grace. Jesus was someone who was perfectly balanced in those two things. And as those who follow him, we need to find a balance as we live in this world that so needs them both. Yeah. We live in a world that needs truth, because we're not led by truth right now. Yeah. With our media, we're not led by truth. Depends which channel you turn on to what you're told. We're not led by truth in this nation or in this world. In fact, this is a worldwide epidemic. And actually, the church needs to stand up for the truth. But we also need to stand up in grace. And I want to talk to us this morning about having the right balance of truth and of grace. The word grace in this bit of the Bible is the word charis. That's the original Greek. And it means this, and I read this week, and I just thought it put it beautifully. It's that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness, favor, or reward. And I was thinking about this, that Jesus was a man full of that which affords joy, full of pleasure, full of delight, full of sweetness, full of loveliness, full of grace in how he spoke, full of goodwill, full of loving kindness, full of favor, and full of reward. And actually, as those who follow him, we need to bring in the same lifestyle that Jesus had. We need to be full of grace. And at the same time, we need to be full of truth. The word truth here is the word aletheia. And it means truth as a personal excellence, state of mind, free from pretense, falsehood, deceit. And then it says, what is true in any matter? So when it talks about truth, it's finding what is true in any matter, in anything that we go through. And Jesus was full of charis, and he was full of aletheia. He was full of truth, and he was full of grace. He had the balance perfect. I don't know about you, I don't always get the balance perfect. Sometimes I'm more one than the other. And we're going to look at what happens this morning when that happens. I want to draw attention to a scripture in Matthew 5, verse 13. And it says this, that you are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything. In Jesus' day, salt was important. It was used to season food. It was used to preserve food. Okay, salt was an important ingredient in the day of Jesus, and it's still an important ingredient today. Salt brought out the best in food. It preserved meat and fish from decaying and becoming rotten. And Jesus tells us in this passage that those of us who follow him should be like this. We should be bringing out the best in others, keeping the good in the world from becoming spoiled and rotten. And while I was preparing for this, I was just clicking on just different things to do with truth and grace. And I came across this thing about salt. And the table salt we use in our homes is a combination mainly of two elements, sodium and chlorine, okay? And I was kind of reading up about these two elements, okay, of what goes into salt. Because if the Bible says that we're the salt of the earth, okay, actually what does that mean? I was looking up what these two elements meant. I'm not very good at science, okay? So I kind of have to look everything up. And Google is amazing, okay? But it said that sodium is never found alone in nature. It always connects with other elements. Its gregarious nature is evidenced by the fact that there are over 200 sodium compounds. You might say that it's willing to accept just about anything that's out there. And then when you flip it over and you look at chlorine, chlorine is the gas that gives bleach its pungent odor. It's a powerful disinfectant, but you have to be careful with it. If misused, chlorine can be poisonous and destructive. And when I was studying this, I read an article that said grace is a bit like sodium. It's kind of tried to be poured everywhere. Its nature is to reach out and receive. And as long as grace is embracing people, it's similar to what we see in Jesus. But often, in the name of grace, just about then anything is accepted. And when we tilt the balance that way, that is not a good thing. Even though grace of itself is a good thing, when we tilt the balance so that there's no truth in it, it loses actually its power. And truth is more like the chlorine. It's the cleansing agent. It's the thing that comes and it cleanses us. And there are times when we need to use it to clean up our thinking, to clean up our teaching, to clean up what we're doing. But if used just by itself, truth can actually sometimes be offensive and difficult to be around. And if mishandled, can even be deadly. And I want to talk to us this morning about finding the balance between grace and truth. Between what is true, and I think sometimes the way that we handle truth needs to be where the grace comes in. The way that we handle the truth of God and the truth of his word and in the society in which we live, okay, when we handle that truth, it needs to be handled with grace. Yeah. Do you know what? When people come into this house, we need a balance of truth and grace because we don't have a policy in this house that says clean yourself up and then you're welcome. We have a policy that says come as you are and let Jesus change you. And that's always going to be our policy. And sometimes it's a hard place to stand. But we've got to find the balance between truth and grace. You know, when people come into our church and God begins to do something in them, who are we to say how long that journey is going to take or in what order God is going to do the cleanup? We give truth, but we apply grace. I can remember listening to someone a few months ago preach, and they were talking about this. And they said that there was an older lady in their church. She'd been in their church 40 plus years. And she was in her 80s, and she came up to the pastor one Sunday morning with tears streaming down her face. And he says, you know, what's wrong? What can I do for you? And she said, it's dropped. I get it. I get the love of God now. She had sat in a church for 40 years. And it wasn't the church's fault that she didn't get it, but God took her on a journey. Right. And all of a sudden broke through. You see, sometimes we can be full of grace for a certain period of time, and then when we don't think people are changing the way that they should, we bring the backlash in of truth. And actually, I want to talk to us this morning that there needs to be a balance constantly in our lives of truth and grace. Because it's what's going to see people set free. You see, it's over 40 years ago since I became a Christian, and God's still dealing with me. Anyone else there? On a daily basis. God's still dealing with me because I don't get it right. And I don't act like I should all the time. And maybe my words are not what they should be. And maybe I think the wrong things sometimes. And God comes with his truth. Joe, you can't be like that. Full of grace. Joe, do you know what? I died so that we can have this conversation. Truth and grace, there needs to be a balance of it in us, not just when people first come into our church, I want to say that, but actually to the person sat next to you right now. And for some of you, that's your husband or your wife. And you may have been together for a long time, and truth and grace still needs to come in. For some of you, it might be your kids sat next to you. Truth and grace needs to come in. For some of you, it might be a total stranger sat next to you that you think it would be really easy because I don't know you yet. But I want to say to us, as we do life together, this balance is so important. When Jesus met Zacchaeus, grace called him down from the tree to have a meal with him. But truth caused him to give four times back what he had stolen. Grace called him down. Truth transformed him. When Jesus came across the woman at the well, grace sat and talked with her. But truth told her that she'd been married five times and the man she's now living with is not her husband, and told her to go and change. Yeah. But it started as he sat, as grace led him. Yeah. When Jesus was with Peter, one of my favorite disciples, grace said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." But truth said, "Get behind me, Satan," as he called out his bad attitude. You see, you can have both. And God calls us to have both grace and truth. You see, Jesus was always graciously truthful and truthfully gracious. And he realized that one without the other would bring an imbalance. Yeah. One without the other would make us unstable. And not just us, but those people around us. Grace without truth brings chaos. But truth without grace can bring a harsh legalism that we don't want creeping into our lives. John 1:17 says this, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus." This morning, God's grace abounds to all of us. That undeserved favor, that pleasure, that delight, everything that I read, that joy, that favor, that reward, grace abounds to all of us. And when we come to Jesus through faith with grace, he then begins to speak truth into our lives. Because he says to us, "Come as you are." That's grace. That's the grace of God. Come as you are. And the truth says, we're not going to stay that way. And 40 odd years on, I'm still changing. 40 odd years on, I'm still not exactly where God wants me to be. 40 years on, I'm still learning new things from God. And he's still sometimes dealing with the old habits that have reared itself again. And I want to say to you this morning, this is a journey we're on for the rest of our lives. His grace and his truth, we need them both in equal measure. Do you know what? There have been seasons in my life where I've needed a bit more grace. Sometimes when things have been a bit hard and I've needed someone to come along with a little bit more grace, but I also want to tell you there have been seasons when I've needed a bit more truth. And I've needed to hear exactly what God's saying. I've needed to hear, "Joe, come on, you're going off the path here. You need to come back onto it. Joe, that's wrong. You can't do that." I've needed to hear that. And sometimes I've needed a bit more truth. Sometimes I've needed a bit more grace, but we need to try and be people who live with both. And so often we look at this subject in regards to people that come to Christ. But I want to put it to you this morning that this also applies with how we are with one another. Yeah. It applies to our marriages, to our kids, to our parents, to our friendships, whatever relationships we are in, grace and truth applies. My mom and dad are coming to see us today. And they'll be here this afternoon. We're really excited. And I love having my mum and dad with us. But we have quite a small house. And usually by about day four, I think they're ready for some space. And probably we are too. But you know what? In my relationship with them, God's really spoken to me about having grace and truth. Right. And actually, my relationship with my mum, I have a great relationship with her. It's kind of taken on a new turn in the last probably few years, where actually I've been able to really speak to her in truth, but have oodles of grace with it. And I've loved my relationship with her. And she calls me, she tells me how it is. You know, she's still the one that when I'm called Joanne, you know, still rings in my ears. But everything she says to me is with absolute grace. And I can't wait. They're here for just over a week. And it's going to be incredible. In my relationship there, grace and truth. In my relationship with all of you, grace and truth. In my friendships, grace and truth. In my marriage, grace and truth. And the longer you spend with someone, I think the harder this is. Anyone else think that's possibly true? The longer we spend with someone, actually, sometimes the harder grace and truth is. Because we just think, well, they should know not to do that. You know? My kids should know not to swing on the doors. Real problem in our house right now. If the door goes again, I'm coming to Rob because, like, he is the woodwork man. Because, like, Matt's going, if that door goes again, I don't think I can fix it. And they swing on the doors and we tell them time and time. I think we must have told them 5-6 times yesterday in the space of an hour. You'd think they know by now. Grace and truth. I knew what I was speaking on yesterday, so I let Matt handle it. I didn't say a word. So, grace and truth. As people do the same things over and over again that we think we should have learned of, grace and truth. We've got to apply truth, but it's got to be done in grace. And I want to, this morning, just look, before we take communion together, at three ways in which we need to get the balance right of this in our lives, with one another, in our church, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our universities, wherever we are, three ways in which we need to get the balance of grace and truth right. And the first is this, in our words. In our words, there needs to be grace and truth. Our words need to be seasoned with grace, even when we're telling the truth to someone. It can be seasoned with grace. Words are powerful. They can heal or they can wound. Words can bring together or they can bring disunity. Words can push someone towards the cross or pull them away from it. You know what? I don't always remember a lot of details of things years on, but one thing I do remember is the words people have spoken over me. Especially the negative ones. Anyone else have that problem? When the enemy wants to come and get me, he gets me with a few different lines that people have said to me over the years. And I have to battle it back. Okay? We've got to be careful with our words, with our throwaway comments, with our flippant things. We've got to be really, really careful. And it's not just what you say, but it is how you say it. Is there grace and truth in the words that you speak? Do you say things in a way that bring life, even in the tough conversations? You know, for 14 years, our church was led by a man called Lee Goodwin. And when I think about Lee and when I talk about him, I always say he was the guy that came and brought a lot of healing to a lot of people when he came to our church. And those of you who've been around for a while will hopefully agree with that with me. And in 14 years, I saw him react to a person once. And I was thankful that he got there before I did. I saw him react once. And I saw what he put himself through after he did that. But this is what I saw time and time again. I would be in his office and I say this quite a lot, and I would come out and go, he just told me off. Never realized it at the time because he spoke truth with such grace. And I learned a lot about grace from him, and I honor him for that. And he never spoke anything but the truth. And in my life, never did it in any way other than with grace. I'm thankful that I could learn from someone who actually a lot of the time got this balance quite right. You see, your words have an effect and have an influence on other people. And I want to say your words about others, even when they're not there, will either bring life or they will bring death. People will change their opinions of people based on what others say. I want to say, church, let's be careful to keep our words full of grace and truth. Make sure your words point people to Jesus, not turn them off him. Yeah. So we need to get the balance right in the area of what we speak. What we speak over those who are closest to us. How we say it, what we say. We need to get the balance of grace and truth. How we speak with one another, we need to get the balance of grace and truth. How we speak to those who come in, maybe for the first time, who are dealing with things in their life. Let's get the balance of grace and truth in our words. Our words are so important. And our words cover our written words as well. They cover our Facebook and our Instagram and our Messenger and all of that. They cover all of that. Let's be really careful. The second way in which we need to be full of grace and truth and get the balance right is in our actions. Do you know what? Our actions need to be gracious and need to reflect the way Jesus served when he lived on the earth. John 1:14 says that Jesus came and made his dwelling among us. He came from heaven. I feel like I'm going to start going into an old song. He came from heaven down to earth. Okay? And he left everything heaven had and he came down to make his dwelling among me and you. And everything he did, every way in which he acted was full of truth and was full of grace. I want to say to us, let's be people who in our actions show the grace of God. You know what? And this is getting really practical now. Hold the door open for someone rather than let it swing back at them. You know, I was swimming with my kids the other day and there were these, you know, we were going through the door and there were these two little kids and they'd run away from their parents. And so like we held the door open and then I let the door shut. And as I was walking around, I'm like, that is really bad. I should have just kept it open for the parents as well, you know. But let's in the practical ways, let's make sure that our actions are full of grace. Let's give up our seat for others. Let's prefer one another. Let's go and help someone who is struggling. You see, Jesus' actions then made way for him to speak truth. And I think a lot of the times the way we act can either make way for truth or it can block truth. People won't listen to your truth if you don't act with grace. People won't listen to your truth if you don't prepare the way for that. We read the story in the New Testament of the woman who was caught in adultery and everybody had a brick in their hand and they were ready to throw it. And Jesus came and he stood with her. He stood where no one else would stand. Everyone else stood away back with the rock in their hand. And Jesus went and the Bible says that he bent down and he wrote something in the mud. He went to where she was. His actions made way for his words. And all of a sudden, he then stood up and he addressed the crowd. And when I think about this story, I think that he was stood right next to her. He was stood in the place that no one else would stand. The way he acted towards her was incredible. And he stood and he said these incredible words, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." His actions made way for his words. His gracious actions made way for his words of truth. Let's make sure that our actions make way for our words of truth and grace. How we treat somebody will then lead the way maybe for us to sit down and say, I just need to say this to you. Can I just mention this? This is just something I've noticed. But actually our actions have made a way for us to be able to do that. I take things off people who treat me really well. You know, and I want to really challenge us with this. Truth and grace, let's get the balance right. And then the third way is simply this, it's in our thoughts. This is where the balance of everything begins. It begins in our mind. And when this is unbalanced, everything else will be. And I want to be very careful as I talk about this. Because I'm so aware in the world in which we live, how many people struggle with this. But I want to read to us Romans 12, verse 2. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says this, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes." The NIV puts it like this, that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says this, We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defense of the truth, in defense of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. Then one final scripture on this in Psalm 19, verse 14. It says this, "May the words that come out of my mouth and the musings of my heart meet with your gracious approval, O Eternal, my rock, my redeemer." In the NIV, that says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." One of the first scriptures I ever learned as a child, that. And I remember it because I couldn't pronounce the word meditation. So this is how I know that scripture. "May the words of my mouth and the hesitation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." Because that's how I said it as a five-year-old or however old I was. My mum could tell you. But I want to say to us this morning that when our thoughts are a balance of truth and grace, then our words and our actions stand a chance. We need to watch our minds. Watch what we go to sleep thinking about. Watch what we watch as it'll affect us. This is something that takes a lot of effort, but we need to learn to take captive every thought and to not give in to the way that this world thinks. Do you know what I think the enemy thinks he's won? Because he's on the rampage for people's minds. And it is such a massive topic that I'm not going to majorly delve into this morning. But I am going to say, as much as it can depend on us, and I'm very careful as I speak about this, but as much as it does depend on us, and as much as we can do, let's find a balance of truth and grace in our minds. Let's not allow our minds to create conflict or to make situations worse. Don't allow your imagination to run away with itself. I don't know about you, I have a vivid imagination. It's one of my strengths. And it's one of my weaknesses. It's one of my strengths because I'm a great daydreamer. And I can dream up all kinds of plans that we could do together. And all kinds of stuff that, you know, God, if you really pour down on this is going to be incredible. And so actually my imagination is one of my greatest strengths. My dreamer spirit is one of my greatest strengths. It's also one of my greatest weaknesses. Because sometimes I live in the consequences of what my imagination tells me is going to happen, even though it hasn't. But I live in the consequence. I feel the consequence. My physical body feels the consequence before something happens because my imagination and my mind has already told me that that's what's going to be happening. And I want to say to us this morning, Christian, let's find a balance of truth and grace as we're thinking about things, as we think about people, as we think about situations, as we think about our life circumstances. Let's allow our minds say, "God, will you help me? Grace and truth. I need to know the truth, but God, I need it to be fueled with grace. I know for me, if my brain goes overboard on truth, I feel condemnation. Because I don't allow grace to come in. I don't allow God to go, okay, it's a new day today, Joe. Let's start again. Because my mind has become overly active with, and the truth is, I got this wrong. And the truth is that, you know, that this is happening. And the truth is, and sometimes we need to allow God to bring a balance of grace and of truth into the way that we think. Because the truth is that sometimes we do get it wrong, but the grace of God says tomorrow's a new day. 12 o'clock's a new hour. 11:15 is a new minute. And we can go again. The truth may be whatever it is, but when we balance it with grace, God can come and do something in our lives. We're going to come and we're going to take communion together. And we're going to worship a bit more together. And we're going to pray with one another this morning. And then we're going to bring our tithes and our offerings to God. Because we talk a lot about new seasons and new days. And this morning, I want us to come to the greatest act of truth and grace that ever there was. The truth was, there was a separation between me and God. The truth was, there was a separation between humanity and God. That's the truth. The truth is that people couldn't go into the presence of God unless you were, you know, a leader or a priest or something like that. You couldn't go into the presence of God. But grace, but grace says that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest act of truth and grace that ever there was the cross. And this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know everyone in the room, and I don't know if you know this yet, but the greatest act of truth and grace was that I don't deserve God, but Jesus came and he died so I can have relationship with him. And this morning, we're going to take communion, which helps us focus in on and remember what Jesus did. It helps us come and celebrate truth and grace. It helps us come and be thankful for what God did for us. Communion is not meant to be a passive thing. Communion is meant to be something that we partake in. So we're going to partake this morning. And we're not going to hand it out. But we're going to come. And this morning, maybe you need to go and share communion with someone. Maybe you need to, you know, maybe you need to go out of these doors for 2 minutes, phone someone, make yourself right with them and come back in and take communion, because that's what the Bible says. But this morning we're going to pray with one another. We're going to take communion together. We're going to come and partake rather than just spectate. And so we've got the next 15 minutes or so, and we're going to come and we're going to spend time with one another. You might want to come and you can get more than one bit of bread. Can I just tell you that? Okay? We're going to come and we're going to take some bread and we're going to go and find someone. It might be that you go to your husband or your wife and you just pray together again. It might be that generations mix it up. It might be that you find your connect group. I don't know what it's going to be, right? But this morning I just really felt on my heart to do this after I speak, because actually let's give some space and some time for truth and grace to become active. Maybe you just come, maybe we're just going to pray with one another and just be family together. But come and take some bread. Go and share it with someone. Come and take some of the juice. Go and share it with somebody. And let's celebrate God together. Celebrate what Jesus did. The greatest act of truth and grace that there ever was. We're celebrating that this morning. And we're thanking God for what he did. And we're thanking God that today we can be with one another with truth and with grace. We're thanking God for what he's going to do. But we're also thanking him for what he's already done and for what he is doing right now. This is a sacred moment, as well as it being a moment of celebration. And so there may be a little bit of chaos, because that's what grace creates. But actually, when we come together and pray with one another, we're praying the word of God over our lives. We're praying that God will come and do something in us. We're praying God unite us, cause us to be united. But just before we do that, this morning, you may be in here. You may never have made that decision to follow Jesus. I want to say to you this morning, Jesus closed the gap that there was between you and God, so you could have relationship with him. And so this morning, if you want to come and get to know this God that I've been talking about, this is what I want you to do, and then I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and we're all going to join. But this morning, if you want to get to know this God that I've been talking about, that is full of truth and grace, and there might be some truth that God brings into your life that changes you, but it will be done with grace. If you want to get to know this God, can you just put your hand up where you are? I know it's a massive thing to ask, and there might not be anyone in here that doesn't know God, and that's fine. If not, we'll move on. But if there is, if you just raise your hand, just so I know, and then we're going to pray together. Just give you a few seconds. Cool. Fantastic. Going to come and give Carla a hug. Excuse me a moment. Come here, you. So we're going to pray. Can we just stand together? Is that okay? And we're going to pray this prayer, because we're all going to join with Carla as she prays as well. So let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, for truth and grace. Thank you, I can come as I am, and you accept me. Today, I make the decision to follow you and to live for you. Forgive me, cleanse me, and help me be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning, the Bible tells us that Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he said that this is his body that is broken for us, his truth and his grace. We didn't deserve him, but he gave himself for us. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to open up the communion table. And we're going to come, and if you want to come and just grab some bread, maybe you just want to take it back to your seat and have a moment with God. That is fine. Or maybe you want to take it and share it with someone and pray with someone. Take, you know, some of the juice that we have and share it with them. We're celebrating the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Like I say, you may want to go and sit and just have a moment with God. That is okay. But if you want to come and share with someone, and I know that this is going to be chaotic and it's going to take a bit of time, but we're going to do this morning. And so whenever you're ready, just come, help yourself, go and pray with someone, go and sit and have a moment with God. But let's just begin to move and just come. And when you've got the bread, if you can kind of move so someone else can get in to get it, that would be great. And then maybe in a few moments when we're doing that, we might bring in some worship. The guys are just going to play quietly for us. So if you just take a piece of bread, okay, and some of the juice and then go and do that, that would be great.